This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
Jennings, and I'm in, oh my God, I almost said Phoenix, Norman, Oklahoma, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio. Didn't say it. Horse Radio Network for November 8th, episode 2308, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, Horse World, it's Friday.
When I get off of work on Friday.
Everybody's favorite day of the week on Horses in the Morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. Look, I can't step on my wife today because she's not here. So I'm not going to get in trouble this morning like I have for the last 10 shows in a row. So I told her, why don't you go to town and go do your tack shopping and all of that stuff this morning? So I just did that so I wouldn't get in trouble.
Nice move. Right? I just sent my husband to go get horse food. So it's all good.
There we go.
We can talk about them right now. They're not here.
That's right. And they can't get mad at us. Well, winter has hit. A lot of places I'm seeing on my Facebook page, all of our listeners are getting snow or it's getting really cold. And on Thrillist.com, they just had the list of the coldest, most miserable places to live in the United States, ranked by state. So
everywhere but Florida, right?
Yeah, we're pretty low on the list, actually. But, you know, we have listeners in a lot of cold states. For some reason, listeners love us in cold states. So where would you think the top two states are, judging by the amount of listeners we have?
The top most miserable states to live in?
For winter, yeah.
I mean, I think I wouldn't guess that we have a ton of listeners in North Dakota, but I can't imagine that
it's
North Dakota.
It's not the worst, actually.
Probably because it's really pretty there. So I'm going to go with Michigan or Wisconsin.
Ding, ding, ding. Michigan's number two. And we have a lot of listeners in Michigan. And you were right on Wisconsin's number seven. And we do have a lot of listeners in Wisconsin. But the worst state is Minnesota.
Oh, what was I thinking? Sorry, Michigan. I meant Minnesota.
We have a lot of listeners in Minnesota. Now we know why we have listeners in all those states. They're just miserable and they need something to do. Minnesota's number one, Michigan's number two, Alaska came in third. So you're pretty bad off when Minnesota, if you live in Minnesota and Michigan, you're worse than Alaska.
You're worse than a place that doesn't even get sun.
I know.
In the winter.
It's like light 3 hours a day.
This is like somebody who used to live there made this list and they got out.
That's right. North Dakota, number four. Number five is Maine. Yeah, Maine can get pretty cold in the winter. South Dakota, Wisconsin, of course. Idaho. I always get in trouble for this, but we never talk about Idaho for any reason. Idaho and Iowa, we never talk about.
Idaho is beautiful. We just actually, coming out on the next Retired Racehorse Radio, we talked a little bit about winter and taking care of your horses in the winter and prepping off the track thoroughbreds for the winter. And we had Dr. Siemens on, and he talked about living in Idaho.
Idaho, that's right. Montana's number nine, and a state I lived in twice and will never go back, Massachusetts, number 10. The last year we lived in Massachusetts, we had 92 inches of snow, and that was it. I was done. We moved. So the best places as far as winter is concerned, you would think Florida would be the best, right?
No, I would say best place in winter is Arizona.
That's 49. That's the second best.
And then
you're forgetting
Hawaii.
The one Hawaii's the best. Because I think the temperature never changes, does it?
No, it's perfect all the time in Hawaii. That's
just
why
like 80 degrees all the time, right?
Yeah, it's like amazing.
They had California after Arizona, and then Colorado, and then Florida. So they had Colorado in there. And this is a person that had to live in Colorado because they said, it seems odd placement for the state that clearly experiences some serious snowfall. But the thing is, snowfall is a cause for celebration here. Well, if you like snow.
If you're into that kind of thing, then yes. I still think it ranks worse than
this
Florida.
This list had to be put out by the Colorado Tourist Bureau, because how else did Colorado end up as the fifth nicest state to live in the winter?
And paid for by the Colorado Tourism Board.
Exactly. Anyway, everybody else, let me see if I can find Oklahoma. Where do you fall? You fall number 33. You're right in the middle.
Right in the middle. That is not surprising to me, because everything here is just kind of right in the middle. Nothing's amazing. Nothing's super sucky, except for if this was a list of like the worst place to live for tornadoes, we would definitely win.
Oh, you definitely win that one. You would
for
definitely
those who don't know, I moved here a year ago from Phoenix, Arizona.
Yes, which was one of the best places to live in the winter. Yep.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I left right before the winter hit, too. So that was fun.
Yeah, good we time. Just, we hit 90 again yesterday, and good. Which is very unusual for this time of the year. We're usually down in the 70s, but next week it's going to get cold. One night we're supposed to get to 49.
Oh my God, how are you going to survive? Get the blankets out, people. Blanket your horses. Go to the store and get your bread and milk.
Exactly. That's what they're doing here in Florida. We have Krista coming on with us today. She's from France. We've had her on a couple times before. She writes many stories for thehorse.com and horse health stuff, but she has something. How do you say it?
Lestay-Lesserre. I don't know.
Lestay-Lesserre. Okay, we're going to go with that. That's her last name. And she's coming on from Paris to talk to us about the Horses and City project that she has going on over there. And then we're going to have a couple of news stories that were kind of fun that we found. These are fun news stories that won't get us in any trouble and are not controversial. So,
thank God.
We should be
tired
okay.
of the angry emails, people.
And then we got some really bad ads coming up, and we're going to announce a winner of the prize of the box of crap. All coming up on today's show. But first, I have two daily winnies. Happy birthday to auditors Katie Moulton, Joe Christensen, Carly Erler, Katie Bachhuber, and Cecilia Berger. Happy birthday
Remember,
to all
when
of
Glenn
you.
Messes up your name, it's like a badge of honor.
It's an honor. You should save this recording forever. And
what's
I also
that? How do you say that word? Joe. It's Joe. That's it, Glenn. Just Joe.
Jerk. And also want to give a special thank you to Carrie Garvey, who sent a really cool gift for Scooter. I'm holding it right now, and it's a mug. It's a glass mug, and she took Scooter's picture, and she etched his face into the mug. And it is so cute! It is so cute. On the back, she wrote Scooter. She has his name on the back, and it's so cute on the front. It looks just like Scooter. It really does. She apparently does these custom etchings for people, and she sent me one, and I posted on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page yesterday.
I think you posted the backside of it, though. I couldn't see it because
it's impossible to take a picture of. It was impossible to take a picture of. I didn't know what to do. So anyway, if you want to see her work, she has better pictures on her Etsy page. And it's too long to put here, but it is on the Horses in the Morning page. You'll find a link to it. She does custom work. So if you're looking for a gift and you want a custom mug, etched mug of your horse or your dog or cat, whatever, you just send her a picture and she does it. And it's very good. It is well done. And so thank you to Carrie. That was terrific. I didn't know that was coming. So that was a lot of fun.
Sorry, I'm lecturing my husband. He's like, can I take your cash? I'm like, get a receipt. Sorry, babe.
That's funny. It doesn't go that way the other way.
Oh, and speaking of the husband who's standing right here, I'll give him my daily Winnie because of his ultimate patience. And I'm also going to give a daily Winnie to our friend Snickers. Do you know who Snickers is, Glenn?
No.
Snickers is Lucas's guinea pig. Oh. And Snickers is a very integral part of the family. When Lucas comes home, Snickers comes out and sits on his lap, and like they watch TV together, they play tablet together. Snickers has, along with Rocky, my guinea pig, they have a turnout outside. They have like a little pasture. We take him out every morning. We bring him out. They're like, having a guinea pig in my house is like having a gremlin. Like, you can't feed him after midnight. Don't shine him in the bright light. Like, they have certain temperatures they can be at, certain types of food they can and can't eat. Anyway, we take very good care of our guinea pig. And I would like to thank my husband because Snickers just has, I noticed that Snickers was losing weight. Again, this is a guinea pig I handle twice a day. So I can tell when he's losing a little bit of weight. And
he
weighs
4 ounces. How are you?
I know.
He lost a half
an
ounce today.
But he's a little bonier than normal. And his breathing has been like just louder. You know, like you can hear him breathing, and that's not normal. So I found a, you're never going to believe this, I found a guinea pig vet in Norman, Oklahoma. That's right. I took a guinea pig to the vet. Chad was like, how much did it cost?
Did I'm you like, drive like 3 hours to the vet?
There was, it was in Norman, Oklahoma. I can't believe, I was like, you must be incorrect. You cannot actually be, but there's a university in Norman. So they have like weird, I don't know. There was a vet here that sees guinea pigs. And so of course, you know, we paid like $20 for the guinea pig.
Does the vet charge it by the pound?
You know, it was surprisingly affordable as far as, I mean, it was still three times as much as the guinea pig. But yeah, so Snickers has pneumonia. My poor little guinea pig has pneumonia. Chad's like, how did you even notice that? Like, his breathing is louder. Okay. He's like, how do you notice that the guinea pig is breathing louder? Because I did. Anyway.
How does a guinea pig get pneumonia? What's he catch it from?
I don't know, Glenn. I feel like we've had him 6 months, and he's always kind of like had a louder breathing, but it's gotten worse, and he's losing weight.
With pneumonia.
I think he did. So, I mean, certainly I've done everything I can to make it. But again, like I said, it's like living with a gremlin or like a Mowgli, you know, that you can't get him wet. You don't feed him after midnight. Don't put him in the bright light. It's like that. Like, and so there's so many ways that I guess it's like a horse. They just try, you know, figure out, they just try to die. So anyway, Snickers is now on antibiotics, oral antibiotics twice a day.
Does he eat them?
Yes. They're in a little like tiny little syringe, and you go and you have to grab his little face and like put it to next to his teeth and like depress the syringe into his mouth twice a day. And he doesn't mind. He's like super chill guinea pig. So anyway, thanks to the husband for not. Oh, and I get there, of course, and they're like, I think he's got pneumonia. You know, we need to take some radiographs to confirm.
Did they actually do x-rays?
I said, let me tell you something. If you take x-rays of a guinea pig, I will sign divorce papers. Like, he will leave me. It's like, you cannot take radiographs of my guinea pig. I'm like, I'm pretty sure my hand is broken. That hasn't even had an x-ray. So, so we just went and I just got the meds.
Like the day. What's going to go wrong giving him the meds, right? I mean, whether he has it or not. So,
I mean, diagnostically, hurt. I think we're just going to go ahead and give the meds. We don't need blood work.
It's like our last greyhound was a little lame, and this is where I lost all vet privileges whatsoever. I'm not even allowed to take any animal to the vet. So I took the animal, and I'm a sucker for salespeople, and vets are salespeople now. They're not veterinarians. They're salespeople.
Some vets are
this
great.
One was. So I brought, the greyhound was just feeling a little, she was old, she was feeling a little slow. So I bring her to the vet. They talked me into a body x-ray. I walked out of there, and I don't even remember what was wrong with the dog. I walked out of there with a $900 bill, and I was never allowed to go to the vet again. But
yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, there's some of them that are awesome. There's some of them that are...
They talked me into everything because they make you feel so damn guilty.
Yeah, I know which organization you went to. Don't go back to that one.
Ugh. It was terrible.
But yeah, I mean, there's a lot. I get it. And a lot of people go, oh my God, do everything. But I think horse people are just a little more realistic. I don't need to do blood work and radiographs on my guinea pig. Like, I don't need a chest x-ray on my guinea pig. And she was like, okay, cool. Yeah. All right. Here's the meds.
All right.
Anyway,
we got to get to our guest. Let's hear from Kentucky Snickers Performance Products, and then we're going to head over to France. We'll be right back.
She swallowed hard as they walked into the start box. She could feel his muscles tense under her leg. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Have a great ride. She didn't have to ask. He galloped out of the box and across the field toward their first training level course. His ears pricked. Her heart pounded. He attacked each obstacle with confidence, clearing them with room to spare. A huge smile broke out on her face as she crossed through the finish flags. She leaned forward and buried her face in his neck. Their bond of love and trust blocked out all else. This love story is brought to you by Elevate. Research proven to have superior bioavailability. Elevate supplies the essential vitamin E often missing from the equine diet. Its all-natural formula supports healthy muscle and nerve functions. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Call 859-873-2974 or visit kppusa.com to order today.
And I did want to mention that on Horse Tip Daily this weekend, Jennifer had a chance to catch up with Karen Isberg of Kentucky Performance Products, and she talks about how not every horse needs the same electrolyte. So that's going to be coming out on Horse Tip Daily this weekend. And by the way, I had to tell you, Jamie, Horse Tip Daily, since we moved it to the new server, has had over 30,000 downloads in a week.
Wow.
So if you don't have Horse Tip Daily, Jennifer's doing a lot of new content over there now. So if she's doing direct interviews and posting all kinds of stuff. So if you haven't checked it out lately, head on over to Horse Tip Daily on your podcast feed. Now, speaking of heading places, we are going to go to France. And Krista has been on the show with us before, and she writes for the Horse Magazine, Cheval Magazine in France, Horses and People in Australia. And she does a whole bunch of different things health-wise. But she has a project she's working on that we wanted to chat with her a little about and find out why. So I think we might have, let's see here, if we're going to get Krista on here. We have to call her live because she's coming to us on Skype today. Hi, Krista.
Hi.
How are you? Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
So say your last name for us again. We'll see if Jamie got it right this time.
Okay. It's Les de la Serre.
You were right. You were right, Jamie. You got it right. So, Krista, what part of France are you in?
Oh, today I'm in the city of Tours.
Okay, cool. And do you live there? Or?
Yeah, well, actually, I moved out of the Parisian area and got myself about 12 acres of land for my horses. And nice. So I live kind of in the French countryside. Yep. That's and it's quite nice.
What kind of horses do you have?
I have 2 trikiners.
Not too shabby. Are you dressage rider or are you jumper? What do you do?
No, actually, when I was growing up in Texas, I used to look through the breed books and dream of the perfect horse I would have one day. And I just fell in love with the trikiner. Everything that I saw and read about them just seemed so fantastic. And then when I ended up in Europe, I thought, you know, I'm just one country away from the origin site of my favorite breed. So I'll just go over to Germany and pick up a trikiner. And that's what I did. And I brought her back and then had her bred. And so now I have her and her baby.
Oh, cool. Now where did you say you were? Because I tried to Google Tour France and all that comes up is Tour de France. So how do you spell it?
Try it with an S, T-O-U-R-S.
Okay. I'm like, how many people on a bicycle do I need to say? I don't want to hear you.
Yeah, Tours. It's named for the towers.
So to kind of describe your area. What's it like?
Oh, it's really charming. This is the Loire River Valley, which is really world famous. You know, there's this river, the Loire, which is, it's really too shallow for any boats to go by. So it just keeps it very natural. And it's famous for all of the castles that are built all along it. So lots of people love to come to France, to the Loire River Valley, just to come and see the castles and also the vineyards, because there's some really nice wine out here, and just kind of taste wine and visit castles.
Wait a minute.
I'm leaving right now.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm getting my bags back.
You're every girl's dream. You just said it. Wine. Pretty scenery, horses, castles, and Prince Charmings. Oh, so there you go.
With French accents.
Yeah, exactly. With the French accents, exactly. Well, that sounds like a dream.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
How did you end up there?
I came to France. Yeah, well, I came to France 22 years ago, following somebody with a French accent. And,
boys.
Yeah, and then I decided, I wanted to make it my home, and so I did, and learned French, and then just started writing in English, writing in French, and yeah, just kind of settled in here.
Okay, we got to ask, is the guy that you went there for?
Or girl, sorry.
Yeah.
It's a guy.
Is he okay. Still around, or did you dump him for a different one?
No, he's still around.
Okay. Just checking.
So you kept him. Okay. Gotcha.
Well, he's really good at rereading the text I write in French, so I got to keep him.
Gotcha. Okay, that worked out then. Good. Because I followed a boy across the country, too, so I get it. Well, you're doing some sort of, like, crazy project. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Oh, well, it's funny because I don't think it's crazy, but I do see that a lot of people do. For me, it just seems so natural. Well, what I want to do is I want to start using isn't even the right word. I want to partner, I guess, with my horses to bring them back into just our everyday lives, and not just be something that you get out and you ride a horse and you in an arena, or even just going around a forest, but you just make them a part of your everyday lives, kind of like, you know, you do with I don't know, some people do with their dogs or the cats. And I know it's a bigger animal, but I'd like my horses to be more integrated in just my daily life, because it's a busy life as it is already, and then having them with me when I go to the city can be now my city isn't very far away, but it can also be a nice opportunity to get other people exposed to horses and kind of, if I dare say, kind of counter this image that cities are bad for horses, because they don't have to be. It depends on how they're treated and what the situation is, how they're the kind of equipment that they have. And how much they work, but they can certainly be very well adapted to the city. And at the same time, it can be an opportunity to find a very nice, clean energy source, because it was kind of once we started switching horses for automobiles that the planet started going downhill.
So it's funny because the exact opposite's happening here. They're trying to get the horses out of the cities. So, yes. You know, they're trying to get the carriages out of pretty much every city they're in the United States. PETA's working on that really hard, and they're succeeding in a lot of places. So it's funny you say that. So what you're talking about is basically riding to town when you can. Now, I guess that also depends on what your road systems are like. And do you have trails you can get to town, get into the city on, or do you have to do the roads?
Well, obviously, safety is a really important issue. So I would not want to put my horses on some of these highways that are around here. That would just be nuts. But I can take them on some smaller country roads into my city. And I know that not everybody has that option. But because I do, I wanted to be able to take advantage of it. I had some really nice little trails, actually, that I can even take into my city so that my horses wouldn't even touch asphalt until they get into the border of the city itself. And even then, they'll just be small roads. So it's possible. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, you know, it's interesting. Last night in Ocala, they have every Thursday night, we are often talking about how we do need to expose more people and especially kids to horses that would never have the opportunity to be exposed to them before. And, mm-hmm. you know, and the only way we can do that is by bringing horses to places that people go normally, right? And they did that in Ocala last night. What they did is they have a food truck. Every Thursday night's food truck night. And all the food trucks in the area get together and everybody comes in and eats off the food trucks. They brought 60 different breeds of horses. The horse council around here got together and brought them to where the food trucks are. And so people got to pet horses. They got to meet all kinds of different breeds. They had an announcer that was announcing them. They probably had 200-300 people there that would have probably never seen a horse except in a field, right? So it's that kind of projects that I think we have to do to get exposure in a safe way.
Absolutely. It demystifies what the horse is, and people can see that, you know.
Uh-oh. Did we we lose.
And you can really see that. There's some lovely images of the New York horses being petted by children. You can just see the expressions on the horses' faces. And, you know, science shows, you know, you can read, you can really truly read a horse's expression and see if they're stressed or if they're quote unquote happy or anything. You can see that in their facial expressions. And you also see it on the people's expressions. And this is actually something that I was discussing yesterday with the president of the French Working Equids Association, because he has seen in France that there's a movement going on actually to bring working horses, draft horses, back into the cities to do things like garbage pickup and even school buses. And so they have
noticed. Wait a minute. Stop right there. They're pulling. Is it like a wagon, like a hay wagon that they're taking the school kids to school on?
Yes, that's right. Yes. Not in all cities, obviously, but there
are. How cool would that be?
I know, right? It's really great. And they use them also for, especially, and this is particularly charming, over in Alsace, which is where the Christmas tree tradition started. They have horse-drawn carriages going and picking up used Christmas trees in January. They go in and pick them up. But they also have, they're using them in the vineyards, and they're using them for various reasons within the cities, not just for tourism, but also truly for working. And one thing that they've noticed, it's not only is it this nice, clean energy source, but it also has created this somewhat unexpected, nice relationship with people. It brings the kindness out of people. They said that, you know, you've got a trash truck comes by and people are grumpy and it's noisy and it's, you know, it smells bad and people are complaining. But then when they replace it with a horse-drawn carriage that is for the people picking up the trash, suddenly the people hear the clip-clop of the horses. They come outside to see the horses. They pet the horses. They talk to the garbage man. They become friends with him. They appreciate him. And the person who is picking up the garbage actually feels much more valuable in his community instead of just feeling like, you know, an unappreciated civil servant. And so this return, this thing that's getting people out of their homes and away from their screens and getting outside and all this surrounding this animal that's coming through. This is the animal is the source that's binding people back together that they've kind of lost each other.
You know, I can see that in certain places in certain cities. Obviously, it's going to take a special neighborhood. It's going to be certain neighborhoods in certain cities that you could do that, right?
Right.
And, you know, obviously.
To grow it, start with smaller places and eventually get it to bigger cities.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, obviously horses were made for that. That's what they've done forever. I mean, long before there were cars. And you know, as long as they're treated right and the bad actors aren't in there, I love this idea. I think you're absolutely right about, and we do need to expose more people to horses. That's the reason we're going to be able to keep our horses. You know,
exactly. The issue is this whole problem of what we're talking about. Well, the scientists are now talking about the social license to operate, which is the idea that if you people can continue to complain about horses being exploited or used as slaves or whatever they want to say, there's a risk that that we will no longer maybe even be able to have horses or work with them anymore. We're talking about in 50 years from now, but still, we don't want to go down that path. We want to show that horses can live, can cohabitate, can co-work with humans in a very positive way.
We live in an equestrian neighborhood. There's 400 little farms here, and probably about 75% of them have horses. And they have 12 feet on either side of the road is grass that you can ride on. That's county property, actually, so you can ride everywhere, and I can drive the carriage everywhere. It's really nice. There's on the Facebook page for the neighborhood, somebody that just moved here was complaining about the horse poop on the road, and you know, obviously moved here from a city, and I don't know that they didn't notice all of the horses standing around in their neighborhood. Right, they moved into a horse community. It's listed as a horse community. And they got ripped to shreds. I mean, I wish I had saved them all to just read them here on the show because they got ripped to shreds.
It's a funny thing though, isn't it? The poop is something that that seems to be the point that makes a lot of people stop and say, well, we don't want horses in the city because we can't. We don't want to deal with all that poop. I mean, in addition to other people saying it's not good for the horses, but people themselves say it. They don't want to step in the poop. They don't want the poop around. They think that it's gross or whatever. And of course, anybody who has a horse knows that horse poop isn't anything compared to, you know, like any kind of carnivore poop, but, you know, it's not, it's fertilizer. And the thing is that I met with that same kind of resistance myself, because in order to keep a positive image of what I'm planning to do in my little town of 4,000 people, I wanted to let people know in advance. So I went to my grocery store and asked to speak to the manager. And I said, I just want to explain to you my project. I'm a journalist, and I'd like to ride my horses into town, and I'd like to come and do my grocery shopping by horseback. And the manager's first reaction was, "What? You want to bring the horses inside the store?" And I said, "No, I plan to keep them outside. You've got a grassy area next to the parking lot." And she said, "Oh, well, that's fine, but won't they poop out there?" And I said, "Well, yeah, it's possible that they will poop out there." And she said, "Well, will you come with what you need to clean it up?" And I said, "Well, probably not, because I'll be riding them. And usually people who ride don't bring what they need to clean it up. But, you know, it's for the grass." And she said, "Well, we can't have that kind of, we can't have poop polluting our parking lot."
Oh, my God.
And I thought, how ironic, because you look out there and you've got a parking lot full of cars. And that's the
garbage.
Garbage. Yeah. Have you been to the grocery stores around here?
Yeah, exactly. So I think the image that has to evolve, and that's not going to happen overnight, but hopefully people will eventually see that the benefits of having horses around will outweigh the slight disadvantage of having.
I grew up in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, which is Amish country. I mean, that's, you know, it's Amish country, right? That's what it's known for. And so I grew up around all the Amish, where they would all take their horses to the store and park them. So the fact that I just thought it was normal to have poop everywhere, you know, because that's where I grew up. There was poop everywhere because there were horse and buggies everywhere. Parked at all the stores. Yeah.
But so, I had this kind of fantasy that in maybe 10 years from now, enough people will be riding horses to stores, that the stores will have a parking lot area for horses where you can tie them up with a little shovel and a little trash bin or something, where you can clean up after your horse you're done.
They do that at the stores where they have the ties for the Amish. They have that. Yep.
There you go. So we need to learn something from the Amish, I guess, at least for that.
Right? Or bring your own little bucket and shovel and leave it there.
That's an option as well.
The store should pick it up and sell it as fertilizer. They'd make money.
It's going to be a second source of income for them.
Well, let us know how this goes. We'll be excited to hear how you make out and what kind of reaction you get, and whether it changes anybody's mind along the way.
Well, I've got some steps along the way. I need to first, plan to get the horses used to city noises little by little. So, and they really need to have that desensitization process for their own safety and mine as well, and their own welfare. But I also am studying the kind of equipment that I want to use, because the idea is not to go back to the past. We need to, the idea is to move forward and have this new relationship of horses, working horses, meaning that we can take advantage of scientific research that's available now that shows us that what kind of equipment is good for horses. And also even here, they're in Switzerland and in France, they're working on electricity supported wagons, so that if it's a particularly difficult moment or heavy load for the horse, then you can add a little bit of electricity and it will help the wagon move along. And then also
my pony would love that in his cart. He would love that I had a electricity supported cart.
Well, I think it's a great idea. They call them hybrid carts, and I think it's fantastic. And
don't tell him that. We're not going to bring that up in his presence, okay? Because
it's a secret. But also the harnesses that you can use, and then I'm going to have my trakehner mare. She's gonna be my donkey. You know, she's gonna be carrying the stuff, and I'm trying to make sure that I have exactly the right kind of equipment to keep her back comfortable and healthy, which it means not going back to, just going on the online, advertisements and finding antique stuff. That's the wrong way to go. I need to go with new ideas and research-based information that will allow me to create the ideal equipment for both of them.
Well, you need to send us pictures when you're in town sometime and you have the pack. Pack trakehner. There, I've never heard that before. That's a new one. You need
that's
to
what she's my packtrainer.
Packtrainer. Everybody has a packtrainer.
The donkey sanctuary in the UK, the large organization that takes care of donkeys and working equids worldwide, and they have a pattern online that you can download for to create a custom pad for the horses or the donkey's back, and so I'm probably going to get inspired from that pattern and make my own. We'll see if I get that far.
Well, where can people follow your travels?
They can follow my travels on crystalestelesser.com, which is my website, and I'll be documenting how things go there.
All right,
and they can also follow me on Twitter I had to look up Chris Lestelesser. I couldn't fit my whole name on it.
And we'll post a link to that in our show notes as well. So if you want to find her website, we'll post it there in case you can't spell it. And you're not French and you can't spell it. We'll post it there. It's always fun having you on. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, guys. It was really great to talk to you.
All right. And when we come to France, could you send us your address? Because we'll be stopping by.
Hey, when you come to France, I will take you on a ride along the Loire River Valley on horseback, and we'll do some wine tasting.
There you go.
You don't know what you just said, okay? I'm writing that down. I'm going to send you an email.
You guys.
Thanks, Krista.
All right, good to talk to you. Have a good day.
Bye.
Does that not sound
like the most...
I think
she knows that I will show up.
I know. Does she?
You will, too.
Does she? You think she realizes what every girl's dream that is?
Oh my gosh, to follow some Frenchman to Paris.
And then end up with tricaners living in the Loire Valley in the middle of all the wineries.
my valley's only known for the wineries, horses, and castles. Men.
All right, great. Tell us about WinTech.
All right, about WinTech. Hold on, I got to get there. WinTech saddle model clearance is on now with new models coming soon. Don't miss out on unbelievable deals across the WinTech range. Check your local WinTech dealer for prices and availability. That is a hard word for me to say. I'm sorry. The model clearance includes favorites such as the popular WinTech 500 All-Purpose, WinTech Pro Jump, WinTech Isabel, and WinTech Pro Endurance, plus many more. Enjoy up to a huge 25% off the MSRP of selected current models. WinTech offers you unbeatable value for money and the perfect opportunity to purchase a lightweight, comfortable, weatherproof saddle from America's favorite synthetic saddle brand. These Easy Care weatherproof saddles are perfect for riding during the winter, as they can withstand mud, rain, and snow. So prepare for winter riding now and save. This exciting offer is only valid while stocks last. So gallop into your nearest WinTech saddle retailer today. Conditions apply. Visit WinTech-saddles.com to find your nearest retailer. And I've had two, and they're like 100. I mean, these things last forever. So it is a very good value for your money.
We still have one that we got in the 90s. It's still in the
box. Yeah. I bought mine used. One of them I bought used from a woman that had it like 10 years, and it used it all the time. It's the first saddle I put on any horse because it's so lightweight and it's easy, you know.
Probably
nice.
Value for dollars you spend, it's going to be right up there with a Steuben.
Yeah.
I was going to bring this up on Monday, but I decided, seeing Leslie was going to be here, I didn't want her to have PTSD and go into trauma and everything. They're doing in 2021, you can sign up for this today for any of you that are interested, the Mongol Derby lasts 7 or 8 days, and apparently that's not enough. And apparently riding in Mongolia has become a huge thing now, because there's all these tours to Mongolia. Mongolia's become this tourist thing for horse people. Well, the Blue Wolf Totem Charity has decided to do an adventure. It's 3,600 kilometers on horseback across Mongolia in 2021. You'll be riding for 84 days. Now, it's not a race. They're going to take you on a tour of Mongolia, and I'm guessing that 3,600 miles over 84 days is going to take you through a lot of Mongolia.
That is riding 2,236 miles. For those of us that are like, 3,600 kilometers, what's that? It's a lot.
Most of the way across the country of the United States. Desert, steppe, wilderness, mountains, sand dunes, and everything in between. You're going to visit the nomadic reindeer riders. You're going to visit the hunters of Western Mongolia. You're going to ride between 20 and 70 kilometers a day, with the rest of the day to do these various activities. Now, if I'm riding 70 kilometers in a day, I'm not doing anything but laying down.
I'm sorry, that's like 55 miles, right? I mean...
I don't know when you're going to have time for all this tourist stuff they're listing.
Miles.
Like, you're going to visit the burial shrines of ancient Mongolian warriors. You're going to go to caves. You're going to see cave paintings and all of this other stuff and live in earths and just on and on and on.
So let me get this straight. I wake up, I get on a pony, and I ride 50 miles, and then I get off, and they're like, hey, let's go touring.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, let's lay down and drink.
Let's have some
and then do it again tomorrow.
And keep in mind, we've discussed what the food's like in Mongolia. You would starve.
You're
not eating goat and fermented mare's milk. You're pretty much going to starve. So the cost for this unparalleled 84-day ride is $14,500, plus a minimum of $4,000 contribution to the charity, and a one-time registration fee of $7,500 or $750.
$20,000.
$20,000. Plus, you got to get there. So there's that. The ride can be entered by, this is interesting, can be entered by an individual or for a slight surcharge, like they do in cruises, by two or three members, teams, and you can divide the riding between you. So I don't
know. Sounds better.
But do they provide a van to take the ones who are not on the horse that day?
There's somebody driving along with them to carry all the stuff. I mean.
They talk about when you're hiking a long through hike, like thousands of miles, like the AT, you get your hiker legs apparently after two or three weeks where you start to not be in, you know, dire pain every night like you're going to die. Do you get your rider butt after a certain number of days?
I think it just gets worse.
Or gets numb. One of the
Well, we've seen the pictures of the riders riding in Mongolia, and like the skin is gone off the back of their thighs.
I know.
But again, they're racing.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to kill you here, but it does sound like a lot of riding. But anyway, if you want to ride across Mongolia for...
Wait, let's change this. Let's act like we're super excited about this. All right. Like, all right. Oh my God, Glenn... $20,000 is a steal to ride 2,300 miles across Mongolia. Doesn't this sound like the most amazing thing ever?
Well, you know what? If you divide that up by day and I take 20,000 into 84, that's only $238 a day.
Oh, my God.
You can't even get a
steal.
Hotel in a city here for that. And you get your food. You get your transportation while you're there. You
Horses.
Probably get medical care when you don't have any skin left on your butt. They probably provide some salve that's native to Mongolia for that.
And really delicious cuisine as you're riding along through the steppes of Mongolia.
Rice. Who doesn't like goat and rice when you're riding through Mongolia?
Goat and rice and...
Fermented mare's milk.
Sounds amazing. See, doesn't it sound better when we're like super excited about it? Blue Wolf Totem Ride, you guys. Just go to horsetrackmongolia.com/Blue Wolf Totem. And then all your dreams can come true.
Now, if you want full updates on the progress and weather and challenges of the ride, apparently they're going to start posting those on May 3rd after you've signed up. Hey, we have good news.
Only $750 to get you registered. It's a one-time fee.
Yeah, there you go. Good luck. Good luck. And if you are doing this ride, you have to let us know. We will follow you. You will be checking in.
We will make you famous.
Once a week, you're going to be on our show by satellite phone if we have to. We're going to do this.
Glenn will send you a satellite phone. Hey, I've got some really good news for the people that are not going to go to Mongolia and ride for 2,200 miles. Are you guys sitting down? Okay. You know, when you start to get sick and like you get that like weird feeling in your throat and you're like, oh, I'm getting sick. I can tell. Do you know what you're supposed to do now? Researchers has discovered a way to fix you. And that, my friends, is drinking wine. Apparently wine has antibacterial properties and it fights germs in the mouth that cause number one, dental plaque, and number two, sore throats. So if you feel it, you're starting to get a little sick, pop open the bottle of wine and drink it, because apparently exposure to wine has a persistent antibacterial effect. Red wine is even better at killing bacteria than white wine, but not by much. So really, red or white, whatever your preference is, you can totally drink it. Another study has tested the effects of red wine on salmonella and compared it to a disinfecting solution containing the same alcoholic concentration and acidity level, and found that red wine is better at killing the bacteria than actual solution that's meant to kill it. Drink up, people.
So if I'm going to take this out, if you don't want to get salmonella when you're at a restaurant, as long as you have red wine, it's going to kill that sucker.
You're fine. You are fine. And if you come to us for your news and you want legitimate information and you're here, you have come to the wrong place. But this is an actual real study.
It is. And do you know that means that all those years in acting, we always said suck a lemon before you go on stage if your throat was a little scratchy. We should have been drinking wine.
That's what I've done.
So if it's a little scratchy in the morning, I give you permission to drink before the show.
Thank you, baby.
You're welcome. Hey, over, you know how they're using miniature horses now for therapy?
Yes.
Well, there's this lady. There's this lady out in San Francisco, Vanessa Gilliam, who decided that she's training up these miniature horses that she rescued out of a sad situation in Texas. And she wanted to really train these miniature horses up and give them some experience to places they might be. So she brought them on the mass transit, which is the BART system in San Francisco. And she thought, I'll bring them on the train. Instead of using one of the poop catchers like they normally use, her and her husband were trying to make one. So they had this weirdly weird contraption that ran straps around the mini and holding this thing up in the butt. And I don't know why she didn't test it at home, but she thought she would test it on the trip. So she went actually to the BART people and said, hey, look, the federal law says I can bring my mini now on the train. And apparently they tried to argue, but then they called people and found out, yep, she could do that. Well, apparently, according to what they found out, the system that she brought for the mini's waist didn't work. It didn't work. The mini was really popular on the train, though. People loved it. But apparently the horse had a few accidents, urinated in the elevator, and pooped in several locations after boarding the train. So I got to think that, you know what we were talking about earlier about bringing horses to cities? This is not going to really encourage this to happen. She said, yep, it failed. It was a valiant effort. I think I would have tried it at home first.
Can I just point out the one sentence in here that you overlooked?
What was that?
She took the horse on the BART to test the prototype. Yep. They call it the accident receptacle. Yeah. The homemade poop catching device designed by her boyfriend to save money.
Yes.
So basically he's like, oh, don't buy that. That's too expensive. Let me make you one. I'll make you one so we can save money. How'd that work out for you there, boyfriend?
Yeah, maybe testing it
news
at home.
Story.
Maybe testing it at home would have been a better idea. They said
a boyfriend, a horse husband, I could save money. We could save money by doing this. No, you're just going to cost more money.
Okay. And that's really going to ingratiate yourself to the city people who are the first time in the train car, in the subway, meeting a mini horse and so excited about it. And then it poops right there all over the floor. Yeah. Not so good.
No.
Hey, we're going to end on some good news, aren't we?
Yeah, aren't we doing really bad ads?
We are, but we're going to end on some good news this week. The next story down.
Okay. Oh, is that me?
Yes.
I'm supposed to do it?
Yes.
Okay, well, I mean, I didn't know if you were me, because it is amazing. Do you know have you looked at the story? I want you to guess how many Mustangs have been adopted this year.
I did look.
Okay, yeah. So 7,100 Mustangs have been adopted this year. It's the largest number of adoptions in 15 years. Woo, woo. Those 7,100, I mean, there's a reason that they got a ton of them adopted, because basically they pay you to adopt them. Not basically, it's true. They pay you to adopt them. If you adopt a Mustang, you get $500. And at the end of the year, you get another $500. So basically, the BLM is paying people $1,000 per Mustang to, mind you, this is tax money.
It's cheaper than keeping it.
Yes, mm. Exactly. Now, if they would just, I don't know, utilize some sort of like spaying and gelding things, and not letting them, they could still run wild. But whatever, it's not the point. The point is, congratulations, 7,104 wild horses and burros have made their way to private homes. It's the highest number of adoptions.
I'm giving you full credit for it. It said 53% they were adopted with the $1,000 program. I think the other 47 were because of you.
Oh, thanks, baby.
That wasn't in the article, but, you know, I'm going with it.
I swear the two Mustangs I've had have been the two greatest horses I think I've ever owned. So I would adopt one. I'm going to adopt another one too at some point. So anyway, that's our good news. Let's go to the really bad ads, unless we have a commercial to do.
We do. And then we're going to get the really bad ads, and we're going to have a prize winner today.
Yay.
Horse people know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire, affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half-chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. ovationriding.com.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It's time for Really Bad Ads, that time of the week when we read ads submitted by our listeners that they find either on Facebook or Craigslist or somewhere else, and we just have a little fun with them because they have some issues. Now, if you're a live listener, we're going to announce the winner of the box of crap. That's right. A box of crap out of my closet was the coveted prize this month, and it is probably the most coveted prize we give away. But if you're listening live and can Facebook message me, the first one to Facebook message me a number between 1 and 194 will announce what that winner is by the end of Really Bad Ads.
Maybe you'll pick yourself. You never know.
You never know. I do have to say that there is only, speaking of winning things, there's only 10 days left to get your voicemails in for Radiothon. So do get your voicemails in, send them in to, and go to holidayradiothon.com to find the information for that. But you only have 10 days to do that. So definitely head on over. Now, I wanted to read something to you that I got that didn't, got past my spam filter. So this got past my spam filter, Jamie, and this was an email I got. And it was from Lona T. If you are searching for a woman who will be best partner for you and who will make you very happy, stop your search. Because this woman is me. Be sure I will make you the happiest man in the world because I know how to make a man happy. Oh, I am very positive and sociable person. I like to smile and I like to present my smile in good mood to other people. I think a smile helps in our life. I am a very careful person and I like to care of my beloved man. I will cook for you very tasty dishes because cooking is my favorite hobby, especially when it is cooking for my beloved man. My name is Irina. My page is here. Now, I did not click on it. I will say that. I did not click on it. Because
do you know what's amazing is I had one get through the filter too, but I'm fairly interested in this. Do you want to? You know,
yeah,
what's funny
ahead.
Is I screenshotted it to read on the show and I forgot until you just mentioned your awesome,
I couldn't believe
your
that
new
got
girlfriend.
Through the spam filter.
Well, it's very well written. Maybe somebody upstairs thought maybe this is something that you need. I mean, my God, because obviously I need
somebody to cook
this.
For me because Jennifer doesn't do much of that. That's
exactly.
Sure. Yeah,
exactly. Well, this is definitely on that same vein. I got an email from Mei Wong, and it says, "Hello, I am Mei Wong, an investment consultant." See, I need help. "I wish to inform you that I have a client that has fund to invest in any good environment that I could recommend. So I will like to partner you and achieve this purpose. Upon receipt of your email and your interest to proceed, I shall give you more insight on how we shall proceed towards conclusion."
A lot of proceeding there.
"I look forward to hearing from you soon. Best regards, Mei Wong." I really think that Chad and I should contact Mei Wong as our investment consultant, because clearly Mei Wong has our best interest at heart.
I do. And if they're looking to invest, there's a farm out there in Oklahoma. And a Horse Radio Network they can invest in. I'd be happy to give
them. She's got people that are interested.
Yeah, she does. Well, all right. Lorene sent in our first ad today. It's a short, sweet one. By the way, Lorene was the first one to write, too. So she said number 111. So we'll announce who that is at the end of Really Bad Ads. 2,000 horse gelding, 15.3 hand, $900 in Fraser. In training November to March 2019. 15.3.
No, they didn't even bother writing that out, Glenn.
No, yeah, in training Nov tomorrow.
This is like a Twitter. This is like a Twitter ad.
Maybe they wrote it on their phone. 15.3 hand, really done nothing, needs miles. So it's a 2,000 horse gelding that's done nothing and needs miles for $900.
What year is it right now, Glenn?
It is 2019.
So let me get this straight. You're selling a 19-year-old horse that's never... Okay, well...
That was really clever to put 2,000 instead of 19 years old, because it doesn't sound as old.
Exactly. 2,000 just seems like days ago.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Though? It really does, actually, which is sad.
Now, the next one, Lorene actually recorded herself, right, and it's probably one of my favorite things is hearing her. So let's go.
Good morning. This is Lorene Barden. I'm going to read a really bad ad. Sorry, Jamie, this is late. You know, life, horses. Yeah. Anyway, the ad is titled Trained Paint Horse and Untrained Spotted Saddlebred, $1,800. Hey, I have a American paint horse, whom of which was a show horse. However, since the loss of her papers, was forced to quit. She is fully saddle broken, and she even have a nice gait. She's very pretty. Period parentheses, black and white horse mare, close parentheses, $1,500. And then we have the spotted saddlebred. She isn't trained, but she has great potential. She is very gentle and loving. She was very calm the first time I put a saddle on her. Period. Close. Open parentheses. The brown mare. Close parentheses. $300. That's it. That's the ad. Don't know exactly what she's selling, but that's her ad. Thanks. Have a great day. Bye.
I wonder what happened the second time they put the saddle on. That's what,
right?
We didn't talk about any time after the first time.
They didn't do a second one because they almost died the first time. This is how Lorene and I actually talk. Like, I talk into the show and she talks into her ads to me. So, hi, Lorene. Good to hear from you. Everything's good. Yeah. Everything's good. My house is getting built. Cool. You know, guinea pigs feeling better. So it's good, you know. Anyway, so the next one, by the way, that clearly is somebody that doesn't know horses. I wrote that at. Like, what about the paint horse? It was broken, but then they lost the papers and it was a show horse. You didn't show
or
it.
Or a dealer. Lost the papers.
No soul. Can't have a soul. Okay, here we go.
Continue
this
on.
One came from CJ. And this
wait a minute.
Is...
I need to write back to Arena here while you're doing that.
Oh. You know what? I'll write
what
back to Irina.
What kind of food do you make?
You write back to Mei Wong. CJ sent this one in and it's fantastic. This is a purebred mule for sale. B-R-E-A-D. Think about
Can
that.
Can you breed mules?
think about purebred mule for sale. Like, is there a lineage for mules? There probably is. I don't know.
I don't know either.
$300, and this is in Independence. This is in Kansas City, so not too far. I have a two-year-old pure. Now, every time I say the word bread, understand that it's spelled like a loaf of bread. Wonder Bread. I have a two-year-old purebred mule stud for sale. He is green broke and is really a great animal. I have named him Clyde, and he responds well to this name.
Is there a mule not named Clyde, by the way?
That's because he was called Clyde forever. He has not been bred yet, but would make for a championship line of mules if bred to the correct female. Reason I am selling is I recently lost my job and am unable to make my mortgage payment. This guy's my pride and joy. He really is a sweet big baby. Please, only a loving possible something. It got cut off. So I read this to Chad, and he's like, aside from the word bread, I don't understand what is so bad about this ad. And I was like, let me remind you, honey, mules are sterile. Okay. They can't reproduce. A horse and a donkey have been mated, and the good Lord said, stop it here. End it right now. There is no furthering of mule lineage throughout the horse world. So what is awesome is this person is selling their purebred mule, B-R-E-A-D, and they're really thinking that it's going to be a breeding mule.
But she did say if it's bred to the correct female, it has to be a very special correct female.
Like one that's already pregnant. If you breed it to a pregnant horse, you will get another animal. I don't know what, but you, yeah.
Now, as mules go, I would say there's a picture here. It's really cute, actually.
I'm pretty sure this whole thing is a scam. It seems very weird. Don't give them your, you know what? We wire the money from your account into our account, and then we will send the mule to you.
And we will send it to, what was the person's name that wants you to invest?
Mei Wong.
Mei Wong. We'll send it to Mei Wong just for you.
Mei Wong is my investment consultant, so you can deal directly through her.
Wait a minute. I think I got an email back from my Russian bride. Let me check. Christy sent this one in. It's also on Facebook. Horses for sale trade in North Carolina.
Southern.
Yeah, but I thought these sites were all shut down. Anyway, the title is Outdoor Deported.
And that's why this got through is because there's literally nothing spelled right.
Deported spelled D-P-O-R-T-D. Deported. Outdoor deported. $1,500. Up for your discussion. 8-year-old mayor, super strong and super smart. Mayor, M-A-Y-O-R. $1,500 or best offer. You're right. There is nothing in here that's spelled right or gives you an indication it's even a horse.
There's no flags. There was no red flags because Facebook was literally like, I don't know what to do with that.
I don't know what they're selling.
and the photograph is of a horse standing in mud, like the feet angled down to the mud. Another one of the pictures is they are basically lifting up the hoof and almost touching the belly. They've got it cranked. Poor mayor.
It's a mayor.
M-A-Y-O-R. All right, Debbie sent this one in. Oh, this horse looks super happy in this photograph. Oh, my God.
Ears back.
I almost need you to post this picture because this is fantastic. This child's about to die. I mean, that's why the guy's running. You can see the guy in the corner coming over to get the kid off the horse. By the way, he's wearing flip-flops and it's in the mud. All right. So for sale is the title, the number 4-sale. I have a horse for sale. He is 4 years old. He is ready to go, has been ridden all over the place, even in heavy traffic. Supper, kind and sweet. Call or text. I would like to mention there is no space in between any of this. There's like, it's like, he is for sale, comma, no space. He's 4 years old, comma, no space. He's been ridden all over the place, even in heavy traffic. Supper, kind. This horse looks like he wants to murder somebody.
And there is about a 3-year-old sitting in the saddle on the horse.
With no helmet, right next to the fence and the mud. And yeah. Again, this is a disaster. This is a disaster. The next one.
Cynthia sent in our horse trailer of the week. At least they don't want a lot of money for this one.
Hold on. I'm getting an email from Mei Wong because I've asked her if this would be a good investment to buy this trailer because it's a very good price.
It's a very good price. $150, Mei. You can get this trailer for $150. It's an old horse trailer that they need gone. No tilt, open to all offers. I don't know what no tilt means, but whatever. And it is one of those rounded two front horse trailers.
No, it's a one horse trailer.
Oh, you're right. It is a one horse trailer. But did you see what's in the trailer, Mei? Mei Wong's going to get a deal when they buy this trailer.
Mei, this comes with a lot of stuff.
It is filled to the top inside this baby blue trailer that was probably dark blue at one time, and it has no windows in the front. It's completely air conditioned, and it is sitting on the ground because the hitch doesn't work, and the tires are flat, but it is completely loaded with stuff, and it looks like one of those old-fashioned, you know, the big square heavy TVs that we all used to have that we couldn't carry because they were so damn heavy?
That's exactly what I think is
it is.
There.
It's a or it's a microwave. I'm not sure. It's an old microwave, but this trailer is completely filled with stuff.
This is a hell of an investment.
It is. It's an investment. Yes.
I mean, if they start unpacking it before you drive it off, then pull the plug. But if you get all, it's like that that TV show where people bid on opening storage units ahead of time. And it's like they could bid like thousands of dollars and there could be nothing in it. Or they could bid like a lot of money or no money and they get all sorts of cool stuff in the storage units. Have you seen that one?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, yeah, that's like this. Like you could bid $150 on this horse trailer. You could walk away with a TV from 1976. I mean, score.
Can I just say that I think my email was better because Irina wants to cook for me. Mei just wants to take your money.
Do you see the mattresses off to the right behind this, just sitting there in the back of this truck? Yeah, look at the truck that's to the right of this. This is awesome. This is a great place. I want to hang out at this place. All right, next one. Melissa sent this one in.
Oh, look Mini. Where we're going.
Oh, no. Oh, no, I can't read this one. This is
we're going. Look where we're going. What town we're going to.
This is in Norco, California. Only in Norco, Horsetown, USA, can you find a mini horse I bought from a taxidermist.
You know I gave you this one intentionally.
Oh, my God. There is no punctuation either. So let me see what I can do here. I bought our mini witch was named Snowflake. You are a taxidermist and have a nice ranch next to the wash. You have a double story barn top floor full of exotic stuffed fish on the walls.
Doesn't everybody have a barn full of stuffed fish?
I don't even know what I just read. I love Snowflake. We bought here off of you about 7 years ago, give or take. I came in the white two-horse trailer and the red Jeep Cherokee to pick here up. I owed you a little under $100 to seal the deal on here. I lost contact to you and cannot seem to find your ranch. If you see my ad, can you contact us in March hoping to square away here paperwork? I-N-O, the letter U, love, minis, M-I-N-N-I-E-S, like Minnie Mouse. Thanks, hope to find you. Snowflake is the love of our lives here.
Now, what? I was actually reading between the lines while you were trying to read it, and they got this horse 7 years ago for $100, and now they want to square away the paperwork.
I'm super confused. Is the horse stuffed?
No. I think it was a live horse.
The whole time, I'm like, why are you trying to pay for your stuffed horse?
It's a live horse. I knew you would think that. That's why I gave you this ad.
I totally thought it was a stuffed horse. And my first pony was named Snowflake.
I knew that, too. I remembered that, too. That's
Snowflake. What did you...
Just everything about this screamed to have Jamie read this. I'm just picturing the barn with stuffed fish all over the walls.
I don't even know. Like, where does what?
By the way, how is he supposed to remember somebody that came 7 years ago?
Glenn, she was very descriptive. She came in the white two-horse and red Jeep Cherokee.
That's right.
You know what? If you're Do we have any taxidermists that listen to this show? Because I wanted to make a blanket statement, but I don't want to offend any taxidermists.
Oh, I'm sure we do. We have a lot of
hundreds
that listen to
the show. If you are a taxidermist and you listen, I want to hear from you because I have questions. Jamie at horseradionetwork.com.
You think you're having something stuffed?
Is
Chad being bad or what?
I just have questions, Glenn. Let's leave it at that. Okay, moving on. You know what? If you have stuffed your horse, I have questions for you as well. So you can email me too. Or your dog. No, I don't want to talk to you if you stuffed your dog. Horse, I have questions. Go
ahead. Kate sent this one in to get off that topic. walking horse, $200 La Follette.
It's a wallocking.
It's a wallocking horse in La Follette. I am rehoming my walking horse, Elvis. He is a stud colt. Of course he is. Elvis would be a stud colt. He is a yearling. His birthday is April 27th, 2016.
I'm no mathematician, but
I'm pretty sure
a horse born in 2016 exceeds the yearling number. Again, I'm not a doctor.
But Jamie, this horse was just bathed with Microtech medicated shampoo this week.
That is the next line?
It is. I fed him 2 scoops of Safe Choice feed and 1 scoop of Cool Calories a day. I get it at Tractor Supply in Jacksboro. He has been wormed with Equimax 2 times, and you must pick him up. Oh. This is a person that thinks you need to know everything before you come see this horse.
I am rehoming my walking horse, Elvis. He's a stud colt. He is a yearling. His birthday is April 27th, 2016.
He's a 3-year-old yearling. 3 years yearling.
But he's a great deal. He's only $200, and he just got a bath with Microtech medicated shampoo. Shampoo is spelled shampoo.
This is a woman that when you sit down with her for dinner, she tells you, she will not stop talking. She tells you every detail of everything.
Okay, I bathed him in the Microtech medicated shampoo this week, and then I fed him 2 scoops of Safe Choice feed, but like the scoop was one of those 3-quart scoops, but like they're the 3-quart, but like the bigger 3-quart scoops, you know what I'm talking about. And then I give him a coffee can of Cool Calories. Cool Calories has a high fat percentage with a difficult kind of a rice brandy type feel. I got it at the Tractor Supply in Jacksboro. Tractor Supply is 7 miles from me, but there's like 3 different ways to go. You can take the freeway or you can take a couple different back roads. By the way, he was dewormed with Equimax 2 times. Now those 2 times were back in April and in October. And the October one, I gave him the 1100 pound dose, but I only gave him the 900 pound dose back in March. And then are you sitting down? Cause we got to talk about his halter. Okay. His halter and his hooves. Let's talk to the farrier. So my farrier is a guy who comes out every 6 weeks.
While we play this. Gemma is going to end the day. She read her own. Very well done, though. That's exactly the lady I pictured. Right.
What happened online? Did you see this on Facebook?
Hey, it's Gemma with Mare for Sale. Read ad, please. $2,500. This halter was born in 2009. 15 to 15.1 hands high, grade quarter horse, red dun, dorsal stripe, and tiger stripes to boot. Oh my.
Lots of stripes.
She's the definition of true dun. Also, I know what you must be thinking. She's a bit chunky. She's actually just straight up fat. Don't worry about keeping weight on her. She looks at a blade of grass and boom, instant 100 pounds. We've been rotating her off of our 8-acre pasture all summer long to keep her in decent shape. This is the outcome. Loads like a charm. You can even toss the rope over her neck and bring her to the entrance and say, load, and there she goes. Stands tied decently well. She's an attention whore. So she'll get antsy and paw if you aren't in her direct line of sight or within 10 feet of her. But it's manageable and not awful. Just a paw here or there. Still annoys me, though. Oh, the fat thing again? She'll come to anything in a bucket. Doesn't even have to be treats or grain. You can just throw dirt in there and shake it around a bit and she'll come right to you. Definitely easy to catch. Anything for a snack. Picks up all 4 feet for cleaning, trimming, and shoes. Tacks up, takes a bit, and even ponies other horses. Does require someone who knows what they are doing. She doesn't do anything stupid, but is super heavy in the face, and if you don't know how to guide with your body and have a soft yet firm hand, she'll just walk around willy-nilly. Did I mention she's super lazy? That's why I say walk around. She'll never take off on you. She'll never take you down a hill at Mach 90. She's far better than that. It may scuff up her perfect red coat. If it requires sweat, it requires extra work from the rider. But with a rider who knows how to get their horses moving, she does walk, trot, canter perfectly. For kids, she'll honestly just walk the entire time. Or stand there. Your guess is as good as mine. She's fantastic to pony children on. Never goes more than a walk. Even when you're trying desperately to get her to pick her feet up just a little bit quicker. Sure-footed as can be. She's been up in the hills, desert, and before me worked on a ranch for a bit. The only reason I'm looking to sell is because I have two I want to put my main focus on, and she's just a little bit too lazy and slow for me. I like horses with a little bit more speed and spunk. She's got her own goofy, lovable personality, but she's just not what I'm needing right now. With that being said, I'm in absolutely no rush to sell her. So she's only going to the perfect home, and for no less than $2,500. If she sounds like something you'd be interested in, PM me. Ask any questions you'd like. I'm being honest here because I want her to go to the best home possible for her. Serious inquiries only. No tire kickers. Laughy face emoji.
This was a sister to the lady that you just talked to, or that we just talked to up there. You know the lady? It was her sister.
I do know that lady. And if you want, she
no,
is available.
No, that's okay. We don't need to meet the lady again.
But she's currently sending a message to Mei Wong, so she's a little busy right now.
All right, let me go to the chart or the spreadsheet here to everybody who submitted ads for this month. Remember, the people who submitted voice ones got double the entries. Oh, and I got to go over. Lorene said number 111. So I'm going to go to the spreadsheet. Number 111 is Gemma. So Gemma, who just read the ad, won. Congratulations, Gemma. See, that pays
no
off to
way.
Send your own
Are
ads
you
in. Yep, she won. She sent a couple in this month, though. So she's had a couple entries here. So congratulations, Gemma. You got a box of crap. I wonder if Gemma's ever won a box of crap before. She's been listening to us since I think we started. And I think she was like 12 at the time. Now she's actually graduated school. So congratulations, Gemma. We appreciate it. And thank you for sending ads in. We love hearing them.
Yeah. Now, Gemma, if you could put your person that you read the ad with in touch with the person that Melissa sent in from Norco, like they might be best friends. They probably know each other.
they probably
are friends.
Who would talk, though?
Everybody. Everybody. You go to a dinner party with my mama and Chad's mama, it's the exact same.
Hey, Irina, I have to go. I have to pick Irina up at the airport. She's coming in tomorrow. So she said she'd start cooking tomorrow afternoon.
It is so nice you can get here so quickly. Wow. Wow.
It only cost me $20,000. I sent it while we were talking.
Yeah, but that was a really good idea. Mei Wong and I have a sit down lunch today. So
you mean she didn't want the money before you sat down?
Well, I had to pay her $20,000 just like you did, but the $20,000 was an investment, Glenn. It was like our first investment.
Yeah, I
feel like yours
too.
Might pay out more.
All right. Well,
bye, Irene.
I'll text you a picture. I'll post a picture of Irina when I see her. Okay.
Okay. Well, I'll get a selfie of Mei Wong and I at our lunch meeting today.
Hey, only 10 days to get your voicemails in and to qualify to win up to $5,000 in prizes. HolidayRadioThon.com for all the details. And we have some guests lining up. We can announce someone, guest, can't we?
No.
Oh.
Not yet.
Oh.
I just got a phone call during this show about the guest that I'm booking, and I have to call her right back.
Okay.
So let's not do it yet.
All right. Let's not do it yet. Oh, we're so excited we wanted to do it. Oh, well.
You were.
I had a poster of her when I was a kid.
Everybody did.
All right. That'll tease. That's a tease, isn't it?
All right. Bay Neuter Geld. Have a good one. Bye. Peace. Remember, if you're coming to this show for useful information, please find another show. Don't send $20,000 to Irene or Mei Wong.
Now you tell me.